Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm Lara Prendergast and I'm today joined by Katie Balls and Fraser Nelson. Donald Tusk was giving a speech earlier and he had quite an interesting line in it. Let's have a listen.
By the way, I've been wondering what that special place in hell looks like for those who promoted Brexit without even a sketch of a plan how to carry it safely.
Fraser, what did you make of that?
It was a pretty extraordinary thing to say, especially at this stage in negotiations. You've got Theresa May about to arrive in Brussels tomorrow. And what does she get as a welcome? Donald Tusk talking about Brexiteers going to hell. Now, sure, you can say he was referring to the Brexiteer leaders. That will be people, of course, in the cabinet, senior politicians, but not, you might say, all Brexiteers. It wasn't Theresa May herself, who, of course, didn't campaign for Brexit in the referendum. But still, this sets incredibly bad blood and doesn't really prepare Theresa May to think she's going to get much of a good reception when she turns up. The question is why he decided to do it. He kind of billed it as a sort of thoughtless aside, but then he tweeted it separately to make sure that the Brexit and hell message was well understood. If Donald Trump had said something like this, everybody would be condemning him for using incendiary, undiplomatic language. So, you know, you can't use these analogies in diplomatic situations and not expect that a big response. So I'm not quite sure it'll have much of an effect on British public opinion. If anything, it will probably be like an Obama moment where Barack Obama said that Britain could get to the back of the queue. That got people's backs up, as this will get people's backs up. But why would Donald Tusk want to do this? It might be because he's beginning to think that the game is up, they're not going to reach a negotiation, a no deal is an inevitability, and he might be rhetorically preparing for it, or he might be trying to harden his position and sort of snarl at Theresa May, hoping she won't push home her case too hard when she arrives in Brussels tomorrow. But either way, it serves as a reminder of what certainly Europhiles like me will not miss about the EU, the way its leaders can behave in this Trump-esque manner. I mean, sure, our politicians do now and again, and it's terrible when it happens. Jeremy Hunt was talking about the EU-SSR. He shouldn't have done that. But there was another story behind his speech today that Katie was blogging.
Yeah, I think actually everyone is very focused on the Brexiteers and those who campaigned for Brexit without having a specific plan for after, maybe have a special place in hell. And it's understandably so. We've seen politicians across the divide say that it's disrespectful. But I thought actually what was most telling about that press conference was Donald Tusk's comments about a second referendum, because he said, I know that still a very great number of people in the UK and on the continent wish for a reversal of this decision. I have always been with you with all my heart. But he goes on to say the facts are unmistakable. At the moment, the pro-Brexit stance of the UK Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition rules out this question. So he's basically saying you're not going to get a second referendum. And I think that's really interesting, because after Theresa May suffered her historic defeat on her Brexit deal, Tusk decided to tweet, and it was not seen as helpful by the UK government, that perhaps the happiest thing or the happiest ending would be to not do Brexit, or that's what he hinted at. And there's been this repeated line from figures, particularly Tusk, that if you push the UK hard enough, what's more likely to happen is a second referendum and the UK remaining in the EU than a no-deal scenario. And that's something that the UK government have found quite difficult to go up against, because they have been saying, actually, even if you had a second referendum, that's unlikely to be the result. And I think the fact that he said this in this conference today suggests that after all the recent votes on things like the Brady Amendment and also the position of the Labour side, there's now an acceptance that that is very unlikely. And actually, that could, despite all the anger today, be a slightly positive step forward, because if the EU really do realise that the UK is leaving and they don't want no deal to happen, we might start to see some movement on other things.
Now, what Tusk and Juncker and Barnier never mention is the biggest single factor behind all this, which is public opinion. Public opinion shows that if there were a second referendum, then things haven't changed, that we're still a country broadly split. And I've noticed in Brussels they always talk in terms of what the Tory backbenchers want, and Tusk reserved his condemnation for the leaders of the Brexit campaign rather than those who voted for Brexit. They're always airbrushed out of the EU version of politics. But that's not to say that Tusk is so stupid that he can't see the way public opinion is going. And public opinion does seem to be hardening behind a no-deal Brexit. There was an opinion poll recently showing it was pretty much level pegging with Remain. And this is not a country which is looking over the precipice and thinking, oh, this is terrifying, we can't do it. I think that Tusk's behaviour actually might be counterproductive, because it just reminds people what it is that we're leaving and why we are leaving it. And you couldn't really look at the way that they behave and talk and act and think, this looks like a great outfit, I really wish we would join this if we weren't in it already. So I think, and Tusk also, he was saying that Theresa May is going to come to him with a proposal and he's going to listen to it. I thought that was quite significant as well, because previously the language has all been, forget it, Theresa, we don't care about you wanting this, the withdrawal agreement is closed. The fact is that Parliament, as opposed to Theresa May, has said that it wants to look again at the backstop, and there's a deal to be done here. Now, if you're the EU and you don't want a no-deal Brexit, and of course they wouldn't want a no-deal Brexit, it would mean that Barnier's negotiations were all in vain, it would inflict completely unnecessary damage on the economies of the north of France, of the Netherlands. I mean, nobody would want a disruptive Brexit if there was a deal to be done as an alternative. And the deal to be done is quite a simple one. She will say, if you would give us a clause that would allow us to exit the backstop with 6 months' notice, Parliament would basically pass it. It's not much of an ask, and Tusk is very, very close to being able to pull something out of this fire.
And I do wonder if the Tusk thing too, perhaps it's just one of the first stages of grief on actually accepting that the UK is going, and now we're going to start to see some progress, because it's also out of step with some of the other comments we've heard from figures like Angela Merkel this week, who've actually sounded quite positive, or at least suggesting that we should, you know, in a respectful manner, come together and be creative. And that seemed to be the opposite of what happened with the health comments. But I think bigger picture, it does feel like things are starting to move.
And I wonder, Katie, obviously Tusk knew what he was doing with that hail comment. You could tell he phrased it as an aside, but he was reading it very carefully from his script. He knew it would detonate. And I wonder if he did it, because that might give him some leeway for conceding later on, talking tough now, but being perhaps more conciliatory tomorrow.
We could have just seen a dead cat, to use the, you know, the Linton Crosby tactic.
Katie, you were in the chamber earlier for PMQs. Did anything interesting happen?
Well, Theresa May wasn't there, which by its nature means it should be a little bit more interesting than normal, because also Jeremy Corbyn wasn't there as a result. And between the two of them, it isn't probably the greatest oratory, I think, that the Commons has seen. Instead, we had David Lidington, who is Theresa May's de facto in, you know, deputy in all but name, and Emily Thornberry. And it was an interesting exchange. You had Emily Thornberry trying to push David Lidington to say the government would commit to a customs union as the only way to solve the backstop problem. Doesn't solve it completely, but as a way to get towards solving that. And you had David Lidington trying to say that he didn't want to do that. And I think it's been pointed out that it was a slightly strange situation, because most people think David Lidington would be quite keen to have a customs union in terms of his personal views on the EU. And Emily Thornberry probably would just want to stop Brexit, given her personal views. But they were both doing their party's positions. I think it did put some pressure on the government side regarding how they plan to get a deal through. Because if Theresa May can't get movement on the backstop, there are lots of people, even within the Conservative Party, who think she might be able to get a majority by backing some form of customs union. That is toxic to many people in the Tory party. So it is highlighting that route through.
That's interesting that that's come back on the agenda now, that if there isn't an agreement on the backstop, then she will say to her party, well, sorry guys, I tried my best, but I'm now going to get into bed with a whole chunk of the Labour Party, and we're going to have a customs union that you're not going to like very much. So this will, it's funny how Theresa May's prospects and career, it always kind of goes from being almost over the edge, she's almost finished, and then she's back. But who knows how things will look at the end of this week.
Thank you, Fraser and Katie. And we've got a special subscription offer. If you subscribe to the magazine, you can get 12 weeks for just £12, as well as a free Aspinall card holder worth £60. To get it, just go to spectator.co.uk/Aspinall. Thanks for listening, and do join us again tomorrow.